Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie. You're here with me and Jeanette Lavelli. We're going to be talking about shocking the clock. And during the next little while, grab a notepad because we're going to be talking how to delight yourself in the Lord as he helps you work smarter, how to do away with two major kinds of fear, how to de-junk your life, and that's going to give you more hours in your day, how to say no with grace and dignity to time wasters, how to divide work and marketing time for the most effectiveness, how to delegate tasks so you can focus on your mission, decide what's important and what can wait, how to dance and sing. This is going to help you manage your time. I love that. How to double up for optimum use of time, and how to diagram your plan with a simple mission statement. Our guest today is Jeanette Lavelli. She is an author, speaker, and hope splasher, the author of 6 books and hundreds of articles and stories. She lives in Paris, Illinois with her husband and 4 spoiled cats. You can learn more about her over at JeanetteLavelli.com and also invite her to speak through WomenSpeakers.com. I'm super excited to welcome you to the platform, Jeanette. Hi.
Hi, good to see you, Marnie.
Oh, it's so fun to have you here. And we're Well Buddies. The Well Conference is one of our favorite places to hang out.
Yes.
And I just love you share so from the heart and such great content. Always super excited to have you here.
Thank you. It's fun to be here. I'm excited too.
Yeah, we're just going to dive right. You have gotten us a long list of high top quality strategies to, you know, when you said shock the clock, I was like, okay, that should be interesting because it's not like just tweak your time management. You're like, let's make a big change here.
Yeah. And, you know, delighting yourself in the Lord, of course, goes along with every area of our lives. If we put God first, and we delight ourselves in him. He says in Proverbs 16:3, if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he will direct your paths. So I like to encourage people to pray about every step. We're going to talk about 10 little things today. And I encourage all my listeners to pray before each step, whatever we're talking about, whether it's singing and dancing or it's a mission statement. You pray ahead of time and you ask the Lord to guide you, and he will, because he loves to help his kids.
He's so faithful and he's an amazing time manager.
Yes,
talk to us about some fears that may come up as we're thinking about how to use our time, especially if we're super busy.
Yes, I think one of the big fears, believe it or not, is the fear of failure. Mm-hmm. I started to say the fear of success. We've got two different fears going on, but they have the same exact outcome, and that is paralyzation. The fear of failure, which a lot of us struggle with, or the fear of success. What if I'm really successful? Right. I make a lot of money and I blow it. Or what if I'm really successful and I get up on the stage and from 3,000 people and I fall flat on my face? So any kind of fear that is, whether success or failure, it paralyzes us. Mm. And we need to learn how to bring those fears to the Lord. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So fear does not come from God. It comes from the enemy of our souls, who's trying to paralyze us from doing God's will. And I like the verse in John 14 where Jesus talks to his disciples and he says, let not your heart be troubled. And I was looking at that verse one day and I'm like, oh my goodness, that means I can have a choice. I can speak to my heart and I can say, heart, don't be troubled. Now stop. And sometimes I will even act like a mom with a petulant child, and I'll say, shh, 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 shh. So I'll tell my heart to stop babbling and stop crying and stop worrying.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Right. Yeah. And he's so faithful.
He will direct our paths. So whatever our, you know, that's basically the word of God is the best sword to get rid of our fears.
Absolutely. I was talking to somebody earlier today and I was telling him about my is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And sometimes I told her, sometimes I can't even do Jesus, Jesus. I can't do two syllables. Sometimes when I'm stressed out, I'm like, just God, 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 God. And pretty soon I move into Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I slow myself down.
That's easier to say, isn't it?
I know.
Great. You know, I have to remember that.
He loves us. He loves us and he wants to help when we're feeling feeling those fear thoughts. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love your next point, which is de-junking provides more hours. This is so true.
It does. Yeah. My biggest clutter problem is probably papers. And experts, time management experts, tell us that if we just handle a paper one time, instead of opening the mail, going through it, setting it aside, when you get ready to pay your bills, for instance, have a day that you pay them, one day a month or however often, and don't even open them until you're ready to pay them. Yeah. Something that I do that saves me a ton of time is when I'm going from the living room to the bedroom or vice versa, I'll look around real quick and I'll take something that goes in that room and I'll take it with me down the hall so that I'm not cleaning up a huge mess on my 10-foot long counter, which is right at the back door, and we pile things on that counter. And if I don't get them to the rooms they belong to, it eats up a lot of time.
Yeah.
But also what I'll do is once a week, I'll clean off that counter so it doesn't pile up. Yeah. I really am so distracted by clutter. And I think most of us are. It eats up a lot of time that we need to do our ministry. And again, pray and ask the Lord, what is your idea for me to get rid of clutter? And ask God for ideas and he'll give those to you.
I love that. I cannot function very well in clutter. And, you know, it's the greatest, greatest strength organization, greatest weakness can't handle this organization, right? So it helps us so much when we recognize how we're built and we actually respond to that. And we, if we need to have things organized and cleaned up in order to be able to function well, do that. And it's such, you don't think about it as a time management strategy, but it really, really is.
It distracts you.
I'm gonna move to our next one, saying no with grace. I'm gonna start by just saying that one of the things I learned early on was that saying no to something means I'm in effect saying yes to something else. Saying yes to something means in effect I'm saying no to something else. And we are all so we want to help, right? We want to say yes every time if we can. But the fact is, if we don't think that through, then what happens is that we end up saying no to our family or to something God wanted us to do because we just instantly said yes to something else, right?
Exactly.
So having led in with that, what are some of the things you think about saying no when you have to say no?
I agree with you, Marnie, that saying no to one thing is saying yes to another.
Yeah.
And I think of no as the anointed word. And I encourage, when I say anointed, I mean it's God inspired. God is perfect at setting boundaries out of love. And we can't say yes to everything that comes along. If you're like me and you're a people pleaser, you want to say yes all the time. We love that word. It's so pretty. Whereas no, you know, we've been taught from the time we're little, you don't say no to mom and dad. But mom and dad are only two people. And sometimes we even have to say no to them if they're asking for something that is unreasonable or it doesn't fit in with what God has called us to do.
Yeah.
And again, that's why it's so important to be constantly praying and asking the Lord to guide us. Lord, what is your will for me? What would you have me do? I remember last year at the well, I came to you and I said, this is my goal to speak 50 times this year, but I'm so stressed out. And you said, Jeanette, can you take your hands and make a little cup and just offer those speaking engagements to the Lord and ask him what he wants to do? And I did that. I took your advice and it was like setting me free. It was like a bird out of a cage when I could just give that goal to the Lord and say no to my own unrealistic expectations and say, Lord, how many times do you want me to speak? What would you like me to do? And when we turn our faces to God, then it helps us to say no easier to people or just to activities that he has not called us to do. I remember one time I said to the Lord, I'm too busy, I'm too busy, I'm too busy. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and he said, Jeanette, you're too busy because you're doing a lot of things that I never called you to do. And I realized I piled all this on myself. I hadn't said no enough.
Right. Right. And in your illustration of saying yes to the speaking engagements, which, by the way, you had high double digits that year, which were so cool. And I remember the moment that I was listening and somebody's wife was over in Canada or somewhere, and she was giving an outrageous number of talks back to back. And I remember thinking, well, she couldn't possibly do a good job. And then, and then God just had me think about it. And I thought, well, why couldn't she do a good job? You know? And then he invited me to go to Africa a couple of years ago. I spoke 26 times in six conferences and four countries. And it was crazy. But God, because God does not run out of gas. When he wants us to do something, he just fills us up and we just go share it out, you know? So talk about dividing work up.
Well, you know, we have to market ourselves and our speaking, our writing, whatever it is we're marketing, not necessarily ourselves, but our ministry.
Sure.
Because if we don't talk about our ministry, no one will know we exist. They won't know what we have to offer to help them.
It's hiding your light under a bushel.
It really is, Marty. It is hiding your light under a bushel. But if you never speak, you know, if you spend all your time marketing yourself, but you never speak, then that won't work either. So you have to divide it. For a beginning speaker, I would recommend 80% of your, not your time in general, but whatever time you have, whether that's an hour a day, an hour a week, 80% of that should be spent marketing your message. And the other 20% actually speaking your message or writing your message. If you're an intermediate speaker, you should do about a 50-50 split. But if you are an advanced speaker, you can probably get by with 20% marketing because now people know who you are. Or I'm going to talk about delegating in a minute. So if you've delegated some of your marketing tasks to other people, then you're not spending so much time marketing yourself because it does take up a lot of time. But, you know, Jesus stood in the marketplace and he said, come unto me. I have living water.
Right.
And so he did not hide.
Right.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said he said, I've got the good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. He didn't say oh, I want to be humble. You know, I don't want to talk about myself. And that would have been false humility because God called him to do that. So if you have a message, you need to tell people about it.
I love that. And I mean, let's put it into context too, right? So for the first 30 years, he didn't. But when he was supposed to, he did, right?
Absolutely.
And that's the key, ladies. We aren't supposed to do what we're not supposed to do. But when it's time to share your message, be bold and get out there and share your message. I love, and Jenna, you're the first person I have ever heard divided out like that. And I loved how you divided out that, you know, a beginning speaker this long, a mid-level, a high, and that's exactly right. Those are exactly the right percentages there. So that's beautiful. So let's pop into delegation here for a second.
Oh, yes. If you try to do everything yourself, you're going to burn out. And nobody wants that. Nobody likes that feeling of panic when they can't get everything done. So we need to delegate tasks, not only so we don't burn out, but so that other people can have a share in the joy of sharing Jesus with others. And so you can enlist family members to do things like go on Facebook for you, gather new friends on Instagram and on Twitter and things like that, do marketing tasks like that. Mm-hmm. I even hire someone to clean my house, not just because I hate to clean house, but because that's some time that I can use to minister to people, whether it's praying, it's speaking, it's writing, it's preaching sermons. So, you know, if you're able and you're willing to delegate, and you have to be willing to expect less than absolute perfection from a task. There, people aren't going to do it exactly like you, but if you show them how to do a task that you want done, how to bundle books, how to, you know, print out flyers or print out brochures, things like that, all that marketing stuff, mm-hmm. and make sure you appreciate the people that help you, whether you've hired someone or they're just volunteers. Make sure you give them little gifts once in a while. You tell them how valuable they are to your ministry, or write them a thank you note, give them a candy bar, whatever it is. Pray over them. Tell them that you're praying for them. People will work hard for you if they know you appreciate them.
Yeah, I love that. All really great strategies and or insights there. And I was thinking too, like for me, mm-hmm. I know that it's time for me to delegate something when I don't have time to do what God is calling me to do. Then I know it's time
right,
to delegate.
There you go.
Either I have to stop doing something or I have to delegate. And I just earlier today, as your ministry grows, you will have to learn to delegate and to have people help you, whether it's volunteer or paid. Mm-hmm. Like you said earlier today, I just hired another part-time virtual assistant because the Summit ministry now is growing. Good. And this is just becoming, great. Wow, so multi-level. And it needs to just have more attention to it. Yeah. And like you said, you can hire anything that you don't personally have to do yourself. For example, Jeanette, you needed to be here today yourself. If you would have sent your assistant, that wouldn't have worked out. There are things only you can do. Only you can do. But then there are things like cleaning your house, editing, things like that, that you can hire out. And it's so wise to do that as soon as you can.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. And it kind of dovetails into this next point then. How do you decide what's important and what really can wait?
How you decide that is you ask yourself, first of all, if I only had 2 years to live, what would I spend it doing? So if I knew that Jesus was going to come back in 2 years, Marnie, I would tell as many people about Jesus as I could. Whether that was through writing, through speaking, through just grabbing someone at the grocery store. No, I don't really grab people. But praying for unsaved loved ones.
Right.
What would I do? Right. How would I spend that time? And then you can even make a list of what you think you would do in the next 2 years and what your life would look like if you weren't, say, going to yard sales and buying new clothes all the time. That's a time waster for me. And so on. If you can focus on what is so important, and sometimes I'll look at my list of things that I have to do for the day, and I'm a list maker. It helps me stay on task. And then when I can cross those things off, it gives me a feeling of you know, gratification that, okay, yeah. I've got that done. And so I look at my list and I go, if I only had the time to do one thing today, what would I get done on this Great. List? And that really helps me to prioritize.
Yeah, absolutely. Prioritizing your to-do list is so important. And also batching things mm-hmm. together. Like when you're doing, when you're running errands, try to run them all and in a wise order.
Yes.
All of those things.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You can map out in your head, map out what you're going to do first and last. Don't go to the store and get ice cream first. Yeah, do that last.
Run home and you got to run out again. Talk right, to us right. about dancing and singing. How could this possibly be time management?
Well, yes, because we're not made to just work all the time. The most successful writers, speakers, athletes, any career that you have, the most successful of those are not workaholics. We need to go play a game of golf. We need to get together with our family and watch a funny movie. Do you know that laughter is actually a form of stress relief, and it lowers our blood pressure. It opens up our capillaries. It keeps us from getting wrinkled too soon. And so, if we just take our shoes off and slide across the kitchen floor on the way to the coffee maker, or grab a grandchild and dance around the living room with them while you put some music on. One of my favorite ways to relax and play, what I call playing, is to read a novel, a good, clean Christian novel. It just helps me to kind of escape and relax a little bit. And then it refreshes me and I'm ready to go back to work after that.
I love to do puzzles. I love sunsets and sunrises. I love flowers.
Yeah.
I love wall art. I just, adult there coloring. You know, there's ways. Uh-huh. And guys, really, you just want to build, not just sleep, but build rest times where your brain can rest. Yeah.
That's good. That's perfect. Not just sleeping, but playtime and
dancing
and rest.
And singing too, of course. Love to dance and sing too. One of the things when I said puzzles, I do want to clarify something because I make sure that I only buy 300-piece puzzles.
Good.
And ones that are beautiful. So that when I have time to do a puzzle, it is not taxing on my brain. It's just fun.
Right.
I can quickly find another piece. It doesn't take me 20 minutes to find one piece. I'm not smoking about it. And I can get it done fairly quickly. You know, for you, it might be a 1,000-piece puzzle is what, relaxes you. Well, somebody might, but not for me. Yeah, I just have to have it simple and stress-free.
No, we like 300 to 550 words. And then we do it together. So my husband and I, so it gives us together time too.
Yeah. I love how you said 550 words. You're clearly an author.
Did I say words?
And you didn't even notice. Puzzle pieces also. Okay. So you have a concept for doubling things to optimize your time.
Yes, I learned when I was in my 40s that the word multitasking, Marnie, is a misnomer. You can't do two tasks at the same time without one of them suffering or having to go back and forth with your focus. So I can do the dishes because it doesn't take much brain power to do that or fold clothes, you know, something like that, while I'm listening to a podcast on how to be an excellent writer or speaker. I can write thank you notes while I'm watching a TV show. Thank you notes takes a little bit more concentration than the TV show. And sometimes I have to say to my husband, if it's a rerun, you know, run it back. We're listening to it on a DVD, you know, run it back. I missed that line because I was writing thank you notes. Something like that. You do something that's, you don't have to think about it. You're pulling weeds and you're listening to something on the radio that is helpful to you. You can't multitask. You can't do two tasks at once. One of them has to be a no-brainer.
I love that you added that last little piece there. So I heard that too, and I decided that I am a really fast switcher. So if I can't multitask, then I'm a super fast switcher, and I can go back and forth really fast between different projects, because I've just always, my whole life, I have a friend that she'd always say, I can only get a quarter done of what you do. But that's because I'm super fast and I'm a very fast switcher. And so
you can switch the sides of your brain from one side to the other.
You know, and when, you know, even now it's like this, but when I was managing the family restaurant and the family retail store and womenspeakers.com and homeschooling our children and, you know, other things that were happening at church or whatever, people would call me, and I just taught everybody in my life to just say, put on your blank hat. And in that second, I would move from whatever I was doing all the way into where they were. I would be there. And I'm very present in the moment, which is another time strategy, is to be present in the moment. Yes, but so I just left what I was doing. I came to them. I would be able to switch back in instantly when we were done. Most people have a lot longer of a turn there, right? It takes longer to refocus.
Yes.
Yeah,
so, yes, it does.
So when that study came out, I first rejected it. And then I decided, well, if it happens to be true, which I'm still not completely convinced of, with our new brains, I honestly think women can multitask, but whatever. So yes, I decided if we can't multitask, then we're really fast switchers if we get a lot done like that. So.
Yes, right. Well, can we not pray and ask God to help us?
At the same time that we're speaking, right? We can pray at the same time as we're doing almost anything.
Oh, absolutely. All we have to do is say, God, 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 God.
Right. He's right here with us.
Help me, Jesus, is my favorite prayer. Help me.
Yeah, right, yeah. For sure. Well, we're on the last point. I want to spend a little bit of time here, but we only have a few minutes left. So how to diagram your plan with a simple mission statement. So for you guys who don't even have a mission statement or know about that, I do a whole training on that over at marnie.com in the mentorship program. So we're not going to go deep into what a mission statement is here, but what do you do to diagram your plan based on that mission statement?
I would write out the mission statement, and then I would pray and ask the Lord, you know, what are my priorities to do this? I would even make a chart, Marnie, maybe with three columns. I have goals for this week. I have goals for this year. And I have goals for 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And how do those fit in with my mission statement? And if those don't fit, then say no to them. Yeah, I would make a chart.
So I'm a lot like you. I usually will do an Excel spreadsheet, and I'll put all my tasks. I have a template for that over at marnie.com too. And I even include an ETA column, like estimated time of attainment is what I say. And sometimes when I'm doing this, I'm like, that would take me 15 minutes or that would take me 15 hours. But what's really beautiful is that by having that chart available in that format, you can order it. Prioritize it in any way, then with Excel, you can do whatever column you want to sort. You can sort that. And so that allows me to see, you know, when I've got 10 minutes between meetings, I can instantly see what I could get done and finish something.
Yes.
Before I did that, I would go get a drink of water or I would do something else. But having that insight as to what has to get done and how long it will take, estimated how long, it just really freed me up to get a lot more done.
Yeah, that's great. Excellent idea. That's even better than mine.
Well, I mean, yours was what you were talking about, more global, like a mission. But then in order, you know, 1 year, 5 years, like that. But in order to accomplish that, then we have to break that down into more of a daily, hourly, even minutely.
Every day. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I'm a big one for planners and whiteboards and black, you know, dry erase boards and all post-it notes, all kinds of ways to help manage my time.
Yeah, and I will even put things, appointments on my calendar if I see a deadline coming and I know I have to have a block of time. I'll actually block that out. I will treat it almost as like I'm doing an interview live with you right now. I treat it with that much, with that much respect, because I did promise to have that done, whether I promised God or somebody else or myself, whatever, I had promised to have it done. Yeah. I need to be accountable. And the only way to do some of these things is to actually block off time and say, I respect that I made a commitment. I'm going to get it done.
Exactly. That's right. And just look at your word as your bond, like you said, whether you promise it to God, yourself, or someone else, you want to keep your word to meet that deadline.
Yeah. And as you are putting your mission statement together for the first time, that is a prayerful thing that you do with God. He knows why he created you and what works he prepared in advance for you to do. And so don't try to do that on your own. Do it with Jesus for sure. Oh, this has gone so fast. Okay, yes, Jeanette, such great stuff. If you guys want to reach out to Jeanette, I want you to go over to her website over at Jeanette Levely. And when they get there, what are they going to find?
They're going to see some speaking engagements. And when those are coming up, they're going to see, you know, a hopefully pretty recent blog posts. They're going to see my biographical sketch and advertisement for different books that I've written. They're also going to see one of my favorite things that I've ever written. And that's called What's the Big Deal About Jesus? That's what I like to talk about most is Jesus. Yeah. And so I hope it splashes hope on you. That's my biggest goal, is to splash the grace of God on everyone that I touch.
That's awesome. So you guys want to go check that out? Jeanette Levely at .com, right? I was going to give you your email address. And then she's also available to speak. You can see her profile over at womenspeakers.com. Thanks, Jeanette, for being here. Such a joy.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Can't do these without listeners and participants. So thanks for joining us. I hope you have a great rest of your day. See you next time. Bye-bye.